Hello, everyone, and welcome to another interview. Today, live from the border between America and Mexico, we have Jorge Barba, an innovation insurgent with us, who is the lead at the Baja Innovation Center. Jorge, it's lovely to have you on the line.
Hey, Nick, thank you for having me.
Absolutely no problem. So, Jorge, you work at the Baja Innovation Center. What is that? Why don't you tell us a bit more about it?
It's a large co-working space we have here in Tijuana, where basically tech not tech companies, but companies that have something to do with tech, different variations, have their offices there. And there's also a very large co-working space where people can just come in and do their work, hang out with people and get to know people and all type, good stuff.
It's such a trend in an industry now to have a co-working space. I love the fact that it gives small companies a place to do their innovative work, but do you also find that having different people from different companies and different mindsets together facilitates sort of more ideas and more innovation happening?
One of the issues, if we can say that, with this particular co-working space is that because you have offices, most people spend their time on the offices, so you rarely get to have the interactions. And I've worked another quote unquote co-working space plus offices, and what I used to tell, because it used to be a client of mine, was you have to create the conditions for people to come out so people can crash into each other and have those impromptu conversations because people are not wired to they just go straight to their desk.
It's the curse of thinking that you need to be busy the whole time, and that busyness translates into success. It's actually something that hurts a lot of innovations and a lot of companies. Do you find that as well?
And yet, I'll tell you a quick little story. Is here in the Innovation Center, there is a Korean who's working from here. So he came from Las Vegas in the U.S. just to start his project here. I can't talk about it because it's hush hush, but it's something very technologically advanced, let's put it that way. And he's got people from local people working on the project. His demeanor and his way of approaching people is completely different from what people here do. Like when he approached me, I was like, who's this guy, Bruce Lee or what? He kind of looked like it. And I was, and he, just, you know, we just started talking and we hit it off. And I've been helping him with his project to help him push it forward. But his way of doing it is people are kind of like, oh, this guy's like, he doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't speak the language. He speaks English. So my point is that when you bring people who are not from, locals, it's a different approach and you see it. I mean, and I love that.
Absolutely. There's so much to be said about diversity in the workplace actually leading to new ways of thinking and new ideas. And I think when you talk about the culture of innovation, there's a lot to be said about bringing in these new perspectives. Do you have a view on how you can improve the culture of innovation in companies?
The culture is the key. So I get asked about, everybody like the question, so how do we innovate and all this other stuff? And I always ask, what are you not doing? Or what are you doing that's stopping that from happening? So let's start from there. Because, there's blockers to behaviors from people. And one of those blockers is, we were just mentioning is bringing outsiders and letting them hang out, giving them a voice. And that's the key. It's not what you want to do, add more activities to what we already do. It's eliminate activities that are standing in the way of these activities that are what I call innovation breeding habits. Because it's if one of the key things is people need to ask questions and challenging, having these, I don't say like rough debates, but where tension exists, tension needs to exist. And I always tell people, how many questions, how many people, how many people here challenge executive? When's the last time anybody challenged you and you actually paid attention and did whatever, the other guy was saying? Those types of questions. But people are they find that like very, getting in their comfort zone. But that's kind of like what culture is. It's not something that you draw and, like take this activity and put it here, like plug and play. It's more of a, let's really ask ourselves, how are we stopping ourselves from not doing this? How are we getting in our own way? Right? It's like people, we get in our way of doing stuff, and we kind of like close off our view and not consider other possibilities, and it's the same thing. So that's how we start things. It's, opening their eyes to what they're doing that's not letting that in.
Could you elaborate a bit more on what you found in your experience working with companies that is stopping them? So the sort of problems that companies and individuals and leaders might be facing that they might not necessarily be aware of.
So there's a company called Capital One, and I'll say them because when they came to me, they had already had their epiphany moment. So usually that's not how it works. You have to help them find that epiphany in some way. But for me, they approached me when they found their epiphany, and they said, "We understand that we've been doing vanilla copies for quite a while now, and we need to stop this because it's not resulting in anything." And I was like, "Wow, you rarely get those types of conversations where they already made up their mind." And the transition was easier. And the one of the key challenges was that there's when in their case is like they have like an innovation consultancy within, or they had one, and then that acted as their quote-unquote catalyst. But their strategy was reactive. So what is going on, and then how do we move faster to copy that? So basically like a fast follower, but not really fast follower when they're actually improving on anything. And they figured that out on their own because nothing was going on. And so I helped them kind of look at that and say, how do we collaborate between people who are not in this innovation consultancy within? Because they had like this lab, and then they didn't talk to each other. And I'm like, how is that possible? They're supposed to talk to each other, and no, they're not talking to each other. They're kind of competing with each other. I'm like, no, right? So that's and see, like the communication part is key, because if the ego part of people, if there's competition between groups, I mean, it's ego. I mean, it's very simple. It's not any other thing. I mean, it's ego, and you have to change that. And the way you change it is either eliminating those egos, restarting from new, or taking the long-term approach, which is more of a coaching, trying to get people together. In my experience, that rarely works. Well, it works, but very, very, very like long, and it's not fast because it's getting into people's comfort zone, breaking their habits. And one way to do that is changing their routines. So one thing I had them do was, let's switch groups, let's switch people. You take a couple of guys from this group, you put them in this group over here, and do the same. Let's start swapping people. And then they were like, "Oh my God, that's kind of like, well," basically I said, "Listen, if they're gonna get along, you gotta start somewhere. We gotta start somewhere, and that's how we do it. I mean, you don't create camaraderie just out of thin air. I mean, you have to, design for it, and sometimes you gotta force it, which is a lot of people think that, like being aggressive is like forcing things, and I'm like, you are designing conditions. And sometimes you have to force them because people are lazy. We're stubborn.
I know. It's sometimes you need to really help a company along to change the behaviors that's holding them back. And it's something that
Exactly.
there's so many people who say it's, oh, if you just do like what this other company does, like just think more like Netflix or think more like Uber. It's so easy in theory to do, but getting the behavior to actually change is something that's a lot harder.
It's contextual, and you just don't import their mindset. You're importing practices. but not their mindset. I'll give you a quick story. Last year I was consulting for a local restaurant. The chef is a friend of mine from early days in school, and but that's his first go around, starting a restaurant, and he's very keen on the culture part. So we understood each other, right? We understood each other, and up to that point, he was just bringing in people randomly to help them with their customer experience, in terms of the employees. And that was the big no-no for me. And I said, listen, if you want like a Disney experience, because that's what we're talking about here, man. I said, listen, you want people to remember this place, to remember the place, not just because of the food, but a bit because they actually like being here. We have to be very, very strict with the type of people that are gonna help you create that experience. And I did a benchmark with Starbucks. So we went in, and because I have a I was also consulting for Starbucks, I made that match. And I said, we don't have to travel up to Seattle. We just go here to one Starbucks down here. I mean, they basically do the same anywhere across the world, the same practices. They'll tell us everything. And that's what we did. We sat down for 2 hours, and we asked key questions to the manager. And he gave us all these different practices that they use. And I said, okay, so let's take a few of these that we like to have, and then let's implement them, but in our own little way. And that's what we did. But see, that was like when I told him we're going to Starbucks and we're going to talk, he was like, what? But it made sense when we sat down, and then we picked and choose kind of different things as to how they manage the customer experience, how to make it sustainable and consistent, which was important. And then we took some of those practices and we implemented in them. And then the hiring changed also in terms of the focus that you want to have. So, you create, you design culture. You don't let it design you. Otherwise, you'll always be reacting to it.
It's an interesting thing you just talked about because a lot of people watching and listening, they might listen to that story and see, oh, I see what you mean about sort of taking best practices from somewhere else. But other people will listen and sort of challenge you and say, you're just copying what some other company did, and where's the innovation in that?
No, because it's like taking something that works elsewhere. At the end of the day, it's customer experience, and I wasn't focusing because, like, what I told him, listen, we don't want to benchmark against other restaurants. We already know what happens. The only thing it's gonna do is gonna be a little bit better. It's an incremental thing. But if we benchmark across different retail areas, expand your view, and I say, let's talk to Starbucks. I mean, they have a consistent experience. It's a worldwide brand. They know what the hell they're doing. I mean, it's consistent all the time, anywhere you are in the world. It's like, Jesus, it's Starbucks, right? Let's see what we can learn from them. And they weren't the only ones that I talked to. We also talked to another company called Anthropologie. You heard about that company?
Is
It's like they
it a it's a
create,
store, isn't it?
yeah, it's for women. It's like all these different, it's like I think it's like a theme park for women because they spend a lot of time in there. But the thing for me that's interesting is, listen, every location is completely different from the other one. So the location here in San Diego is different from the one or the ones over there in Los Angeles. And I have a contact that works in one of these. So I went to her, and the same thing. I started asking questions. I said, and I told my friend, listen, obviously, Anthropologie spends the objective was, let's find and learn from companies that invest in the customer experience as their marketing, and they don't invest in any other tactics to promote. So I said, let's focus on the customer experience being the thing that actually gets people to talk about it. So that's the reason we chose these Starbucks, Anthropologie, and then other, like, I have a background with Disney, so these types of things come natural for me to think about, and then to connect the dots, and then let's go and execute it. Now we picked some extreme examples, like this other restaurant in Colombia. It's called Andres Carne de Res, where basically, like, the well, there's a lot of things that they do completely different, but the people, the employees there are actors. They're actors. They entertain you, so it's very, very unique experience. So we also kind of like study that, but said, that's really wild. But I said, that's something to aspire to, right? So Let's see what we can learn from that and then transport over here. So it's so when people ask say that, like you were saying, it's for me it's more like a creative creativity is connecting dots at the end of the day. You know, whatever we did over here is unique to Oryx Capital is not unique to Starbucks or Anthropology. It's that we just kind of took some pieces and mixed them up and there you go.
I know it's one thing to think that if you're taking inspiration from best practices from somewhere else, that it's just copying. But the actual
No.
innovation quite often happens in how you execute it in
Definitely.
each individual company, because that's where the rubber meets the road, and it's actually about how the innovation happens. And execution,
Yeah.
unfortunately, is where quite often the best ideas tend to fall apart.
Yeah, what I tell people is, let's focus on learning from the guys who are great. The companies who are have these very, very, very focused, extreme thinking about certain things, because that's where you learn the most because you're pushing it. And sameness is everywhere. So it's, for me, it's not no point to go and say, oh, this guy runs his restaurant this way. I mean, come on, we can, ex I mean, this guy can exchange employees with that guy and nothing's gonna change because they're wired the same way, right? But what happens if we exchange employees with them, their culture is going to change. And I said, that's the key. That's what we that's the idea we want to plant in people's head, that if you go to Carl's Jr. for one day or a week, their whole thing is going to change because we have a different mindset.
What about things like the difference between these pretty safe incremental innovations and more breakthrough innovation? Is that something that you have a view on sort of the way that you approach them differently?
Yes. So this is one thing that I think people rarely think about, and even business leaders rarely think about when they're approaching the questions regarding innovation. Mostly, and they don't think about it because they're just going with off their heads, but mostly 99% of the time they're going with something incremental. I can say this. So last year I was talking to the leader of a very, very big company down here in Mexico. They have dealerships across like 40, 50 dealerships across Mexico. So they have like Hyundai, Land Rover and stuff, Porsche, BMW. And we had a chat and he was asking me, stuff about technology, artificial intelligence and all these things. And he's somebody who's been around. He knows a lot of people and he likes talking about these topics, the future topics. But what I was anticipating was, okay, you like talking about these topics, but do you like executing? And it's completely different. It's a completely different personality. So we started talking about them. I started, figuring out what I could tell him, and I did, in terms of customer experience and stuff like that. And basically what I said, listen, how do we automate certain things within your services? And when I did the presentation, he was like, oh my God, like this is, and I said, he's like, this is the future. And I'm like, yes, this is the future. This is the future, sir. And then, but we haven't done anything. We haven't done anything. So for him, the questions when I was presenting these things were, how do we make it more incremental? Not how do we pursue this in a way that it's not so risky? So it's completely different questions. And I said, listen, the question was, I don't want this to be like an experiment. And I said, there is no innovation without experimentation. We have to experiment. I mean, nobody's figured this out, but I am giving you the options where I can help you figure it out. This is not something that we go and copy and paste from somebody who's, doing this. I mean, nobody's figured this thing out yet. So, you know what I mean? It's pursuing the future of your service versus trying to just, how do we make it smaller? How do we make it, less risky? How do we make it, God, I mean, it's different, right? And people don't, it's different set of options if you pursue a breakthrough like this guy I was telling you about, the Korean. What he's doing right now is it's all technology, but he's giving a different application. It's from the military, but he's giving a different application to the commercial world. So, but what he's doing, people tell me that's hocus pocus. And I'm like, no, actually, yesterday we did the first demonstration. It's working. So that's a breakthrough right there. Whereas most of the things that we deal with are in the incremental side and somewhat in the disruptive side of things. But it's different. And when I'm talking to people, I can tell you immediately. I get pitched all the time, and I'm like, well, obviously you're doing that. And for them, that's like something that's, new in their head. For me, it's like, you're just following the trend. But what is it about what you're doing that's, differentiated from what's across the border? You know what I mean? It's funny. It's a funny conversation, but people don't think about like the strategy they're pursuing. And if they thought about it, the options and the view of how they're approaching would completely change. And sometimes I'm the one who has to show them that to open up
And
their lens.
how exactly do you do that with a client? How do you get them to think about strategy and innovation in a way that's more helpful to them?
Well, it's a little bit aggressive, but that's my style. My style is to ask them questions and then get them to think. So I get seen as coaching people, but it's my nature to helping people, open their eyes. Don't get stuck in their habits. And it's questions. When was the last time that in the industry something interesting happened? When was the last time that you guys did something interesting? And then that question of interesting is, let's go to the nuance. What is interesting to you compared to what? And then I get them to, it's like a get them to reflect on what they do. And then having them figure out that what they're doing wasn't, or they did wasn't really. You listen, there was this company, Comex. It's a big company in Mexico, a painting company. Painting company. And they were telling me, this was a while ago, but I remember it very clearly, because they were telling me, oh no, we're innovators and all this stuff. And then I was in with the board, and I was like, innovators, you guys sell paint. Okay, tell me exactly what you did. Well, we painted a mural when you entered the store. That was innovative for them.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not innovative. That's just, visual stuff. I mean, that's great, right? That's great. But if it's innovative, you are changing your behavior, and you are changing somebody else's behavior. You are improving somebody else. That's innovative. So talk to me about that. And when I said that, it was like people were just scrambling for answers. They couldn't figure it out. They couldn't come up with something very, and that's when it hit them. They were like, oh my God. So usually when these things happen, people, the signals that I get is people start using the brain that never used for a while, and they're like Jorge, it's been a while since I've used up so much brain resources in a quick hour. I'm like, well, that's a good sign, and that's how it starts. That's how it starts, because it's a lot, as I was saying, it's a lot of challenging your assumptions, and that's not normal.
Jorge, it's been wonderful chatting with you. We're coming up to the end of the session, but like I do with all the other experts, can you give our listeners and viewers sort of one piece of actionable insight that they can try out, something they can give a go at this afternoon or this week?
Yeah, this is from a actually this is from a company called FutureThink, and when I knew about this, I was like, well, I'll actually do that. But they gave it a better name and better framework to work with. So it's basically, kill the stupid rule. And you sit down and you say, let's write down all the things that if we could eliminate, it completely change an outcome. Right? All these stupid rules that we just go with and assume that's the way it's done, and sit down and write them down, and then each one, put them on a graph that's like high impact and low effort, right? Map them out and pick and choose the ones that are higher impact. Because those, if you eliminate those are the bottlenecks. They're the big headaches. If you take them out, all those stupid rules, and stupid rules are, things regarding processes, like, oh, this thing takes too long, and why are we doing that way? I mean, it doesn't have to be that way, right? You know, stuff like that, like checking in, like this company here that has all these different check-ins to do something. So they have to check like with five people to approve something. That's a stupid rule. They move so slow. So I mean, that's a key thing that people can put into action immediately. This is the simplest thing I can come up with, and very, very, very powerful, because it's like, I'm telling you, when I get people doing this, they're like, you know, it's like, wow, like this whole set of options just appeared out of nowhere. They hadn't th thought it through.
All right, yeah, I love that. Killer stupid rule, so easy to do. I think a lot of people are going to give that a go. We're also going to get all of the links to Jorge's work down in the description on the screen. And Jorge, why won't you quickly tell them where those links are going to take them so that they can find out more about you and what you do?
Sure. So my link to my blog, gamechanger.net, that's my blog. I usually write 2 times a week. And, you know, I used to write a little more, but now, you know, I try to be consistent, and hopefully you guys like what I have to talk about. And you can also find me on Twitter at Jorge Varva. And I'm very active on Twitter. That's the quickest way to get into contact with me. I usually answer immediately. If I don't, I will. And I'm always up for meeting new people and having interesting conversations.
All right, it's been wonderful having you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for the invite.
Congratulations on being part of the Innovation and Creativity Summit. I'm sure that if you continue to watch the other expert interviews, you will experience an improvement in your capability to turn your ideas into something valuable. But don't forget, to get the very best experience and ensure you don't miss any of the priceless lessons, you should invest in yourself with the All Access Pass. Not only will this give you exclusive lifetime access to watch all the lessons whenever is best for you will also get all the interviews as downloadable audio files so you can learn on the go, full transcripts so you can read and analyze the great advice and tips, and exclusive bonuses not available to anyone else. Click the link below to get your All Access Pass now.